Thursday, December 31st, 10:30 a.m. Royal Bedroom. I can't believe I'm writing this, or that I'm about to write what I'm going to write. I mean, I knew the moment I woke up that it wasn't going to be a good day. It was still raining, for one thing, and you know what they say, or at least what Grandmère says. Rain on coronation day means marauders can't be far away. Except that I highly doubt marauders are on their way to steal the throne from Mia. Cousin René already tried that, and all he got for his pains was a one-way ticket back home to Italy. Although Prince Morgan left me the sweetest thank you note, saying how much he hoped we could hang out again sometime. I guess he doesn't realize what the word babysit means, that his parents were paying us to hang out with him the whole time. Cousin René sure doesn't. He left without paying his share of our babysitting money. Anyway, what happened after I woke up was even worse, in some ways, than marauders invading the palace or people not paying you the money they owe you. Which is that this morning, when Francesca, my wardrobe consultant, came in with my gown to start getting ready for the coronation, and I went into the bathroom to bathe, I discovered I'd finally gotten my period. At first, I thought I'd fallen asleep eating raspberry macarons in bed again. Yes, this has actually happened before. But then I remembered that Nishi and I had finished all the macarons downstairs before we'd gone to bed. For a minute, I swear I thought I was dying, even though I'm already very well read on the biological mechanics of the female mammalian reproductive system. It's just a bit of a shock when it happens to you, especially when you've been waiting so long. And it's happened to everyone around you. And your cousin keeps harping at you about it. And your best friend keeps calling it shells. And then, when it finally happens to you, it happens on your sister's coronation day. You hardly expect it then. But of course, that's always when things happen, when you least expect or want them. Obviously, I was completely unprepared and had no idea what to do, even though everyone in the entire household, except my dad, had discussed it with me multiple times, especially Mia, because they are so anxious to make sure I don't freak out when it does happen. But there I was, freaking out. Well, only a little. This was the big moment, and I couldn't remember what I was supposed to do. Of course, all I had to do was poke my head out of the bathroom and ask Nishi or even Francesca if I could borrow a tampon. But for some reason, I didn't want them to know. Not yet. I knew they'd make a huge fuss and congratulate me and probably kiss me and, in Nishi's case, demand a selfie, and I just couldn't handle it. So, instead, I stuffed a wad of toilet paper in my pants and told Francesca I'd be right back, that I needed to see Grandmère about something, then went down the hall to see her. I found her in her room, sitting at her vanity table, putting on her lipstick and eyebrows for the day. Because the coronation was such a huge event, she was making her face look extra fancy. "Hi, Grandmère," I said, sitting on a poofy chair beside her. "Well, good morning, darling," she said, lowering her eyebrow pencil so she could get a good look at my reflection in her enormous vanity mirror. "Why are you still dressed in your pajamas? Are you ill? You look a bit peaked." "No," I said, "I'm not ill. It's just that, well..."
"If it's something concerning that boy," Grandmère said, "I wouldn't worry. He's quite smitten with you."
I was really surprised that she knew anything was amiss between Khalil and me. I'd been careful to pretend everything was fine, just fine. "Okay," I said, not believing for a second that she was right. "Thanks, Grandmère. But I just thought I should tell someone, and I'm sure Mia and Helen are pretty busy. I had my period this morning."
Grandmère had gone back to drawing on her eyebrows, and when I said the thing about my period, she accidentally jerked her hand, so the black line went running all the way up the middle of her forehead. This startled Rommel, who'd been watching both of us from Grandmère's bed, and he let out a little yelp.
"Darling," Grandmère cried, reaching for a tissue to wipe off the line. "That's wonderful. Is it your first time?"
"Yes," I said. I wasn't surprised Grandmère had forgotten. She forgets a lot of stuff, like how old she is, what year it is, where she put her scepter, and who is the president of the United States, which to her doesn't matter since she doesn't live there. I know menstruation is a natural process, but I still wasn't all that comfortable discussing it with my grandmother, even though, of course, I really love her. "Of course, I could talk to Mia or Nishi or Helen about it," I said, "but they'll make too big a fuss. And I really don't want to mess up my white gown for the coronation today."
"Oh, darling, don't worry," Grandmère said, waving a hand. "They have pills for it now, you know, to make it go away."
"Really? How, with my extensive reading on the subject, had I missed this?"
"Yes, of course, darling. You don't think lady astronauts and professional tennis players and these actresses who do all those stunts in bikinis mess about with their periods, do you?"
I don't know."
"Well, they don't. You might have to wait until you're a bit older, though, before they'll give them to you. But I'm sure if you discuss it with Helen Thermopolis..."
Grandmère always says my stepmom's name as if it tastes a bit like spinach.
"She'll be more than happy to talk about your options."
This was heartening news. I wondered why Louisa didn't know about the pills. She always knew everything that was on the cutting edge. Or maybe she did know and preferred all the attention she got from asking to borrow tampons every 2 to 3 days.
"In the meantime, go over to my bathroom," Grandmère said, gesturing toward her enormous ensuite, which featured a tub so large 5 people could fit in it. "I'm sure you'll find what you're looking for in there. It's been ages for me, but I know Maxine, her maid, keeps it fully stocked for her own little emergencies. You know what to do, don't you? Or do you need a demonstration?"
I shook my head. In school, they'd separated the girls from the boys, then shown us a film. It had been hilariously bad. Nadia had said afterward that in her former country, where she'd worked as a child actress, she'd starred as the girl character in the educational film they'd shown her class.
"When my character got her period,"
Nadia told us, laughing at the memory, "the director had me stand at the side of the lake and look sad while all my character's friends splashed around in the water and had fun. It was so dumb." I'd laughed along with everyone else at the story, but now that it's happened to me, I sort of know how Nadia's character felt. I understand how to use the pads, but tampons are a little too much for me right now. Maybe tomorrow.
"How are you feeling?"
Grandmère asked as I came out of her bathroom. "Okay, I guess." I sat back down on her poofy chair. "It's complicated."
"Oh, yes."
Grandmère had successfully drawn on both eyebrows and also put on lipstick and looked less scary than before.
"Womanhood is complicated indeed."
"No, that's not what I mean," I said. "I mean, I thought I'd feel different after getting my, you know, because of being a woman now and all. But I don't." Grandmère nodded and reached for her lipstick.
"No, because that's not what makes someone into a woman."
"It isn't?" I watched as she applied the bright red rouge to her cheeks. "Then what does?"
"Life, my dear,"
she said, and regarded her reflection.
"Life. Now, you'd better hurry along to your room and get ready. You'll want to eat a good breakfast this morning. You will need all your strength to carry the ends of that wretched robe down the aisle this afternoon. I didn't want to say anything in front of Rocky, but the truth is, despite the cleaning, it really does smell a bit like farts.
Yes, I said, you're right. So, I did exactly as she suggested. After all, she's had a lot more experience at this royal thing than anyone else I know. Thursday, December 31st, 12:45 p.m., Grand Staircase. Well, it's about to happen. The day I was beginning to think would never come. We're all here. By we, I mean me, Mia, the Prime Minister, my dad, all the television cameras from 39 different countries, and all the guests, but they're still being seated inside the throne room. Of course, Michael and Dad and Helen and Rocky and Grand-Mère are here too, since they're taking part in the procession. Nishi was disappointed that she's not participating in the ceremony. She had been a junior bridesmaid in Mia's wedding, and so had to sit in the audience with Prince Gunther and everyone else. But I'm a little relieved, actually. She found out about my shells when I had to change my pad and has talked of almost nothing else since.
Oh, my God, Olivia, she kept whispering all through breakfast. Maybe we'll both get it at the same time.
Please, I whispered back, stop talking about it.
And your sister paid me, she hissed. She just slipped me the cash this morning. 10 euros per hour per kid, including Prince Morgan, since his dad skipped out on the bill. She said she felt bad about it.
I know, I said. She'd paid me, too.
I can get my cell phone, Nishi said, and call Prince Gunther whenever I want.
This confused me. Prince Gunther? What about Dil...
I'm seeing Prince Gunther later, at the after-party, and you'll be seeing Prince Khalil later, too.
Yes, I will, but...
It's so exciting!
Nishi can hardly contain herself. I keep telling her it's a post-coronation luncheon, not an after-party, but she doesn't care.
Maybe he'll give you his gift then, Nishi keeps going on. Maybe his gift really is a kiss.
I already know Khalil's gift isn't a kiss, since he said it was something that could be ruined if he didn't give it to me sooner rather than later. And I also know from our last conversation that the chance of us kissing is about zero, since we're barely even friends anymore, thanks to Louisa and her evil games. But I don't want to mention this to Nishi, since she's having such a good time.
Oh, my God! Nishi breathed excitedly over her Belgian waffles. What if you get your first kiss and your first shells on the same day, and then Prince Gunther kisses me? That would be so romantic.
I love Nishi, but it was all I could do to keep from flinging myself away from the table, going back to bed, and pulling the covers up over my head. But it's okay, because she's gone now. She has my cell phone, with which she's sworn she'll record the ceremony for me, so I can watch how it looks from the audience, even though, of course, it's going to be on every major news network later. Mia looks really beautiful. The dress Sebastiano designed for her is perfect. He wanted to try to hide the baby weight that she hasn't lost, but Mia said, "Why should I hide it? I'm proud of it. I have 2 healthy babies, and I'm about to be crowned ruler of my country. I'm a strong, powerful woman. Make me a gown that emphasizes that." So he did. When she came gliding down the stairs just now, she looked like a ship about to set sail and conquer 1 million armies, emblazoned with tiny white crystals that sparkled in the sunlight. The rain has finally stopped. She looked more like an empress than a princess.
Wow.
Michael was waiting with the rest of us at the bottom of the stairs.
Would you marry me?
Too late, Mia said, giving him a peck on the cheek. I'm taken. So, who's going to help me get this thing on? She meant the robe of state, which was being carried behind her by two very strong Genovian footmen. They were sagging under its weight a little. I'm telling you, that thing is really heavy and smelly. I'll help, I said, as Rocky leapt forward to help as well. Rocky loves state events because it gives him a chance to wear his military attire. He is a junior officer in the Royal Genovian Guard, and during state events, he gets to wear a miniature sword at his side, which he always swears solemnly he will never draw and stab anyone with. So far, he never has. But the robe of state was too heavy for Rocky and me alone to lift to Mia's shoulders. Michael, Dad, and the footman had to help.
That thing is going to give you both backaches, Helen said worriedly, looking from me to Mia as we tried to straighten out the yards of red velvet and ermine. Why does it have to be so heavy?
It represents the weight of the people, Mia said, and my responsibility to them. I'll be fine, Mom. What about you, Olivia? I could tell by the look of concern she gave me that she'd heard about my morning visitor. I knew Grandmère wouldn't have told her. She's good at keeping my secrets. But probably Maxine, Grandmère's maid, had blabbed. It's impossible to keep anything secret in a palace. I'm fine, I said firmly. I feel fine, too, except for some slight discomfort in the midriff area. But that could be due to the fact that I ate 4 waffles for breakfast, so now my gown is a little tight in the waist. Excellent, Mia said, and pushed a bit at the bun into which her stylist, Paolo, had swept her hair. You could tell that it felt as restrictive as my waistline, but she had to wear her hair like that, so the royal crown would stay on when Dad laid it upon her head. Shall we? Inside the throne room, the orchestra is playing the Genovian national anthem. Outside, I can hear all the people beyond the palace gates screaming Mia's name. It really is a happy occasion. Too bad my heart is drumming so hard, I can hardly write this. I don't care anymore about the news cameras. I'm so used to them, they don't bother me. But somewhere, out in that throne room, is Prince Khalil. I just really hope it's true that he doesn't hate me. Well, here goes.